Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Malachi chapter 3. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the text. We are celebrating the last Sunday of the church year. It is not really the church's equivalent to a New Year's Eve celebration. Instead of spending the day looking back at the past year and making resolutions concerning the year to come, we as the church look back at the broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And we know that all things have already been resolved in him. And instead of merely looking forward to the next 365 days, we spend this day looking forward to only one day, the last day, the day on which the Lord will return, bring this world to its end, and separate the righteous from the wicked. The prophet Malachi says that on that day you shall again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. According to Holy Scripture, we do not live in a world full of shades of gray. There are only two kinds of people in the eyes of the Lord, the righteous and the wicked. Those who serve God are completely righteous in his sight. Those who do not serve God are utterly wicked. Jesus uses the same sort of, reality in his words. He talks about good trees and bad trees. Good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit or no fruit at all. There are no average trees that Jesus speaks of. There are no somewhat righteous or somewhat wicked people. In the sight of God, you're either one or the other. Christ told his disciples that on the last day, all the people will be gathered together, and he will divide them, the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. We see this in Paul's letter, in many of his letters, but his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. Paul wrote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." So we either are someone who only does good things or only does bad things. Now when we hear that, our confessional Lutheran understanding of God and salvation causes us to prick up our ears a little bit and ask for some clarification. We've been talking about this in our Bible class, Sunday morning Bible class over the past few weeks as we've been finishing up John's Revelation. And as we focused in on last week, there are books in heaven in which are written every offense against God's law, every sin committed, and the books will be opened on the last day. The books which hold God's indictment of every sin will be opened, and God will judge the people. Jesus says, on that day, men will have to give an account for every careless word they have spoken. Thankfully, there is another book that we also hear of in John's Revelation, the Book of Life, in which are written the names of the faithful who have been declared righteous by God himself. Malachi calls this the Book of Remembrance. The Lord has written your names so that you will always be remembered. our prayer is the prayer of the thief on the cross. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. God has promised he will remember. He will remember you. But he also promises that I will forgive them their iniquity and remember their sins no more. We focus in on the cross of Jesus Christ today, his sacrifice that he made to pay the guilt, the price needed to cover the guilt of your sin. Because only then can you stand before the Lord in righteousness. Only then could your sins be forgiven and separated from you, as Scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. Buried with Christ in baptism, as Paul says in his letter to the Romans. So when we look at the good things or the bad things we do while in the body, as Scripture says, is a determining factor in our salvation, we understand that is true given the proper understanding. Jesus paid the ransom price for our sin and took away your guilt and mine. The bad, the sinful, the wicked things we do, those are no longer remembered. And we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ himself as God looks down upon us. Malachi says that on the last day, you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not serve him. Those distinctions are what Jesus points out when he talks about dividing the sheep and the goats. Our Lord says on the last day, he will say to the sheep on his right hand, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison. You came to visit me." And the goats, to them the Lord will say, "Depart from me, you who are accursed, to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink." Now as the Lord says, both groups are going to say to him, "Lord, we do not remember seeing you in any such predicament." What Christ told his disciples of the last day is the same thing that Malachi is telling us. Those who serve God have been declared righteous, and only the good deeds that they do will be remembered. All of your sin has been separated from you. Again, as far as the east is from the west. This is the reality in which we live. It should not be taken lightly. I spoke the words of the absolution to you earlier. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Those words have meaning. And the forgiveness you receive is real. That the sins that are forgiven you are forgiven. And God has promised, "I will remember your sin no more." What we receive here at the Lord's table, in the body and blood of Christ himself, the forgiveness received is real. It's meaningful. Have confidence in the gospel. Have confidence in the word of God. Your sin is separated from you. What you receive here is not some vain hope. This is the place where we receive that which saves us. But for the wicked, for those who do not see a need for being saved from the guilt of their sin, who do not see a need to serve the Lord, who trust in themselves or who view God as a quaint afterthought. God has warning for them. And just as his word brings real and lasting blessing to the faithful, his word brings real and lasting warning. Jesus and all of the prophets repeatedly warn how rejecting God or treating him as being less than God has consequences. You know, perhaps of all the prophets who speak to this issue, for me, it's the prophet Amos that best sums up the Lord's attitude toward sin. When he says, "Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done." Again, as we hear in John's revelation, there are books that will be opened, and the indictment against sinful man will be made there on the last day. Thanks be to God that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Malachi says that the day will come when there will be a distinction, a clear distinction between the righteous and the wicked. But that distinction it's not through our works. It's through the work of Christ, the sacrifice he made upon the altar of the cross, the passion of our Lord, his humiliation, his suffering, death, that has made it possible for you and I to be counted among the righteous. It is his righteousness that we have received, that has been put upon us, so that our Father in heaven no longer sees the person that we were born as a child of Adam. But he has forgiven us, and he has promised that he remembers your sin no more. Therefore, in his eyes, we truly do stand before him in righteousness. We stand clean, pure, holy, complete, perfect. And his opinion is the only one that matters. This day, marking the end of the church year calendar, it is a day to rejoice and a day to give thanks, as if we could ever adequately give thanks for what he has done in sending his son to the cross. But we look back upon the broken body and spilled blood of Christ our Lord, and we know that our future is secure. There is no need to make New Year's resolutions today, because in Christ, all things have already been resolved. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.